Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour and then bring them on. By all means, number to call is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the phone coming back, or the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest live on the radio. So that's after the top of the hour news. It's the first Monday of the month. So welcoming in, it's the first Monday of the month. Listen to me. It's the first Tuesday of the month here. And we're welcoming in, Grants Pass City Councilors Valerie Lovelace and Rob Pell. And, Councilors, welcome. Very glad to have you here. Thank you all very much for braving the weather out there, a little rain intermittently, but for the most
part. It's going to be nice. It's going to be nice for this Art Along the Rogue weekend. So
that's right. That's coming up this weekend, isn't it? And the forecast is great. Back into the 80s again and sunshine. Did you arrange that? Whose fault is that? Does council take credit for that?
Absolutely. If the weather's good, we do.
All right.
Yeah. And rain is a good thing.
Well, the sign says it's the climate.
Yes, it is. Okay. And it's good. We all need the rain. It'll help with the fires and that sort of thing. But as long as Art Along the Rogue is going to be nice, I can live with a couple days of showers.
Okay. We got our last official update on the complex of fires this morning. They say most everything's under control, containment at 90%, and we don't expect to hear any more about them should something break out. But folks, don't take it. It is still fire season, so still exercise caution. And speaking of caution, welcome again to the microphones of KJO Radio. Anything particular on your mind? Start with you, Valerie. Are you dealing with anything in particular? Before I bring up yesterday's meeting.
Yes, before you bring up yesterday's meeting, because I don't think it was really mentioned, is our public safety crisis, you know, funding for our public safety. That is big on the mind of council right now, trying to find a way to stabilize our fire and police and fund it to a level that gives us our community safety. We're just talking out in the hallway about, you know, citizens maybe wanting a neighborhood watch or something, you know, because people are concerned about the crime level, and we know what's going on, you know, with Measure 110 and how it has brought about a lot of the problems and drugs. With drugs, I know our police have been adamant about citing and, you know, trying to keep a handle on it. We have, I think, some of the highest citations in the state of Oregon, but it's not bringing people to treatment. And that was what Measure 110 was meant to do. So, you know, that's put a real crunch in our public safety and their ability to respond to all of the things that people need throughout the community. So,
now, Valerie, your word was crisis. Now, we're not quite crisis yet, but are we approaching crisis? Is that the right term?
Well, you know, I may be melodramatic. I've been known to be that before. But to me, it is a crisis when the funding that we have will not cover the costs. And therefore, if we don't come up with some solutions, then we will lose fire and police personnel.
All right. And that's something I think we'll deal with quite a lot this morning. Rob, step in here. Valerie's word was crisis or approaching crisis. Do you agree?
Definitely.
Wait a minute. Are you there?
I'm sorry. Did I hit that button?
That button is the cough button.
Thank you.
I'm going, wait a minute, I've got all the right buttons pushed here.
I think that her characterization of crisis is accurate. I don't think that the people in Grants Pass would be satisfied with the same level of law enforcement that the county has. And I think that I would define that as a crisis, because we've got, as of next summer, we'd have to make pretty catastrophic cuts to public safety if we don't come up with another funding mechanism. I don't think that's what the people of Grants Pass want. I know that's not what anyone on the council wants. And you lose a lot of public safety. That in itself is not a crisis, but the crime that can happen and go unchecked afterwards would definitely be a crisis.
All right. And we're already seeing that, Valerie pointed out quite accurately, that we have the highest count of citations issued under 110 in the state. And that's not per capita. That's total number. So we're outciting even the Portland Metropolitan Police.
I'd just like to add to that, while that is an indicator that the police are generally doing their job, it's not an indicator that those citations and or arrests are actually having much of an effect, because as we all know, without going into details, to a big degree, it's catch and release, with whether it's the DA, whether it's state laws and all that. So that indicates, again, that the police are on it. They're focused. They know who the bad guys are, but it doesn't necessarily make us a heck of a lot safer.
Doesn't take them off the street at all,
exactly.
Or doesn't get them the help that they need or don't even want, as many as the case is. So let's outline the situation that is facing public safety right now. First of all, you have the levy coming up in November. Can you outline that situation for us?
Yeah, I can. Actually, we do. We have the levy coming up, and to us, by putting the current levy, $1.79, that's what people have always gone for the last, since 2010, so that's been 13 years. That's what they've, you know, if you've tried to go above it, they've cut it, so that's one leg, but that leg alone will not solve the problem. We have to come up with something else. And so we've come up with some other options. One of the options is a utility fee, a fee on the water bill. If the levy passes, then it will be half of what it would be if that would be the choice that we took with just doing the utility fee. So that's one of our options. The second option is to enact a food and beverage tax, much like Ashland has. But that would a 5% would likely be sufficient if the levy passes, but if the levy does not pass, that would not cover the costs of public safety. Just to give you the numbers, we have if the levy passes, that's $6.5 million that would go into the public safety. If that does not pass, then we're going to need $13 million to supplement to make public safety pass. So there is a $6.5 million hole that even that with the levy is still there. And so that's what we need to try to fund. So a utility fee is one of the options. Another option is a food and beverage tax. A third option would be to go to a sales tax, which would probably need to be 1.5 if the levy passes, 2.5 if it did not. And, of course, the fourth option is to make the cuts. We kind of figure looking at if the levy passes and there's no other action, then 20% of public safety personnel would need to go. If the levy does not pass, then that would jump to 35% of personnel because we don't have anything left to cut. We have made some pretty brutal cuts over the last couple of years, including things like we've kept positions that would that are closing, cut off, one of them being a fire captain, one of them being a police captain. We haven't funded those positions when those people retire because we have the retirements coming up. We have cut, yes, so we've already cut a lot of personnel. We've cut our, vehicle replacement. So at this point, we're not funding, going forward, we're not funding any vehicle replacement. And you can only imagine police vehicles wear out and the expense.
Only because they go 24 hours a day, seven
exactly.
days a week, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But it is a cost. And then, of course, fire equipment is not cheap. We did have to, I don't remember the year, but when we had the bond and we bought the fire station, we also bought three fire trucks at the same time. Well, those have a certain amount of lifespan, and so they have to come up. So we've been trying, knowing, and so I think now we've actually purchased two. Mm-hmm. But at one point, we purchased one, and within 6 months, the price went from $800,000 to like $1.3 million. That's just because of the costs going up. So all of those things have hit public safety as hard as they've hit everybody else. That's where we're at. If you want to add something to that, I don't know if I'm...
Rob, you want to jump in and say she's accurate. I'm sure she is, but go ahead.
Everything that Valerie said is absolutely true. And the I don't think that we can discount or diminish the effect that this incredible inflationary situation that we're in right now has affected. I mean, we pumped out trillions of dollars during COVID. It made prices all across the country just skyrocket. And public safety is feeling it hard. And the great example that Valerie used was a brand new fire truck, $800,000. 6 months later, we went to order another one, and it was up to at least $1.4 million. That's just, you know, it's not something that anyone budgeted for. It's not something that anyone was remiss in not budgeting for. Who could have seen that? Maybe some economist at the highest levels of government could see it, but Grants Pass certainly didn't see it. And so we've got those shortfalls that are just, we've got to do something about it. And the buck stops in this case with the council. Not that we want to deal with it, but we have to deal with it. So that's the situation.
All right. Let me see if I can recap this pretty succinctly here. First of all, we have the levy coming up in November to vote on. If that goes down and if there's no other funding, public safeties would be reduced by 35%. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, right. Close. Yes.
Okay. So we get to vote on the levy. Now, the other options are a utility fee that would go in. It would be half if the levy passes. It would be double if the levy doesn't pass. What are those numbers? And that's something we don't get to vote on. That's something that the council will decide, correct?
Yeah, basically, 6.5 is what the levy brings in, about $6.5 million. So if the shortfall, if that doesn't go, then our shortfall jumps to $13 million. And, you know, you have to, like I said, we've cut it so slim that the only thing, I mean, our biggest cost is personnel. That's the biggest cost for the city is personnel. Not so much in the water business. In that case, you're talking, you know, equipment for like the water, but that's water money is not transferred over to public safety. And I think a lot of people don't understand the budgetary constraints that come with certain money, money that the comes through the water treatment plant. I can't think of what it's called. It's an enterprise. It's a business.
Funds, yeah.
Enterprise funds. So basically that money supports itself. So that is supported through funds, but those funds can't be transferred over to the general fund, which is where public safety comes from. So through the years, what we've seen happen is that, you know, when levies haven't passed it, we've gone out for $1.89, we've gone for a fire district, we've gone for a sales tax. When those don't pass, then basically we have a certain level we have to keep with public safety. So what happens is that brings us into our general fund money, which means parks, which means community development, which brings, you know, economic development, which brings in a lot of those. And so those are where the cuts would have to come. And we are pretty lean in most of those. Even our economic development money comes from lodging tax, which is another source of money, 30%, which goes to public safety. But the rest has to be spent on facilities for tourists or tourism promotion. So there are certain buckets of money that are restricted that we can't, you know, I've seen.
You can't move one pot to the other.
Yeah, and I can't say, okay, well, we'll just cut down our transportation and go over here because transportation has its own pot. So,
and when you say we can't do it, it's not a question of council not maybe wanting to do it. It's state law.
Yeah.
So that's you know, people might see us investing money in the downtown Welcome Center. Well, most of that money is coming from the tourism lodging tax, which we can use a percentage of that for public safety, and we are. But there's a limit, and that's a state law. It's not something that council controls, unfortunately.
All right, let's get back right into the public safety situation. All right, levy coming up in November to vote on. Should that pass, a couple of options are at the council's disposal. One is adding money to the utility bill for law enforcement. All right. And if it passes, it will be at one level. If it doesn't pass, it will be at another level. Do we know what those levels are, or generally, do we have estimates?
We do. If the levy passes, a utility fee would be roughly $25 per month per residential household. And if the levy doesn't pass, it would be roughly $50 per month to start, and there would be an escalator each year. The one big advantage to a utility fee is that it gets a lot of people that don't pay taxes and don't pay the levy, meaning nonprofits. There are a lot of nonprofits, they may be smaller, and truly are nonprofit or truly deal with very small amounts of money. There are other nonprofits. A good deal of Asante is nonprofit. Some of the larger churches are considered nonprofit. We know that both of those entities, both the church and Asante, have enough money to invest in real estate and everything else. So, you know, they've got plenty of money. It's just a question of whether or not they're a quote unquote a nonprofit status and how they, you know, how they handle that or how they regulate it. But a utility fee would cover the nonprofit, so it does spread out the load over a larger area than just taxes can do.
But another option that's been talked about is a tax, food and lodging tax, food and beverage tax, a sales tax. How, what are the likelihoods of that happening? And I understand the council has the authority to institute that without a vote of the public. So the only thing the public gets to vote on in terms of law enforcement funding right now is the levy. And if that doesn't pass, one of these other situations will happen at some level. Now, if we're talking about a sales tax, do we know what level we're talking at there and how it would be instituted, how it would be structured?
Well, as Valerie mentioned before, the estimates are that if the levy passed, a sales tax of 1.5% would probably fill our gap. If the levy doesn't pass, it would be 2.5%. And it would generally be on, you know, most goods and services, obviously prescription drugs, grocery items, things of that nature would not be taxed. And again, you touched on the fact that these things can be implemented without a vote of the people. And frankly, I think council is in complete agreement. And I hate even hearing myself say this, but it would be a waste of time to put those to a vote of the people because we already know that a sales tax will be voted down.
It'll go down, yeah.
And we, in the same way that we felt, even though we would have liked to have tried a higher levy amount, we know that a 10 cents more gets voted down. So rather than wasting time on things for the sake of appearances, so to speak, and again, I hate even hearing myself call a vote of the people for appearances, but the fact is, we've got to fund public safety, and we know that some of these things would get voted down. So the question is, which option is council going to choose?
Now, council defeated a proposed ordinance amendment that would have structured the utility fee, but didn't put a dollar amount on it. Now, so that's put to the wayside, but it wouldn't take very much to bring that back. And part of the discussion that I heard was that a great deal more work needed to be done on it to decide what is really best for the people. Has that work transpired? Is that work ongoing?
I think that because there was a lot of work put into it in terms of what it would be, and that, you know, and I think the council was wanted more information brought up on the sales tax and the other tax, because it seemed like we were only focusing on the utility fee, and there were some councillors that felt that we needed to look at have more information on the sales tax and the beverage tax before we looked like we were throwing all of our eggs into one basket. So, like you said, it would not, you know, whatever we institute will take us a certain amount of time to get it up and going, which is actually after November we'll start having some big decisions on our hand, because, you know, that's kind of when we'll kind of have an idea of whether we're looking for, you know, a lesser amount or a greater amount, and whether and I think one of the things that's really important here is what we're really looking for, and what we've been saying our number one goal has been, is looking for stability in our police and fire. Because one of the things that people don't realize is that if every 3 years or 5 years you have to go out for a levy, that puts firefighters and policemen in the position of not knowing if their job is going to be available. And we've seen in the last year, we lost two firefighters to Medford. Actually, they took a cut in pay, but they're tired of going through the levy process because Medford does not have a levy process. So that's where, you know, that's what people don't see, is the fact that we have extremely high turnover in this community, sheriff and city, because we train people, we send them off to academies, we get them all trained up, and then they get working, and then they recognize that they can get more stability somewhere else. And so we put a lot of money into training people, and then they go away. So that's one of the things that through all of this we're trying to do, is make sure that there's a stability by just not depending upon just a levy. So that's, and like I said, we just want all the choices open so we can get feedback from people. And we really are asking for feedback from our community.
All right. We'll get that. We'll give them an opportunity to give you that feedback here momentarily. In the meantime, though, I'm way behind. I've got to get some commercials in here. Thank you very much for your time. We'll be back with more after this.
Our fall.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. City councilors are in studio here. Valerie Lovelace and Rob Pell. And we thank them very much for their time. And we've been talking about public safety. And that's been something we've been talking about a long time here, and trying to figure out a way to pay the bills and at the same time ensure, quote, public safety. Now, we were talking before that break about the levy coming up in November, and if that levy passes or fails, then we've got some other decisions to make. and those decisions have to be made prior to the end of the fiscal year, I believe at the end of June, in order to maintain at least the level of service that we have right now, if not seeing it reduced. Is there enough time in there to make that adjustment, to get those final decisions made if we wait until after the November election?
That's a great question, and it's really heavy on council's mind and staff's mind. Some things would be faster to implement than others. A fee on the utility bill, obviously everybody already gets a utility bill, and so that would be relatively fast and easy to set up. But that'd be relatively fast and easy. Other things, some of the sales tax issues, whether it's general sales tax or food and beverage tax, would probably take a lot more time. I'd have to hire consultants and so forth to bring those up to speed in a timely manner. So it's a great question, and we're coming down to the wire for sure. So earlier today, when Valerie used the word crisis, and you kind of questioned that, the crisis really now is the time pinch as well to be able to have all the options that we want to have. We're right there. It is crisis time.
All right, Valerie. Crisis time? What?
Well, yeah, and I think that was why part of my disappointment when this council decided not to do the utility fee, because like you said, we'll have to go back through that process. You know, any process that we go through to do a sales tax will take time to set up. We'll have, you know, to have educational. I mean, so yeah, we are down to.
It's crunch time. Okay. All right. And people have any input. I know that there are ways to get to you via email. I don't know if there's phone numbers you want to give out as we get closer here to the top of the hour.
But. The easiest way is just Mayor Council. Just type in Mayor Council at Grants Pass, Oregon. Yeah. So that's the easiest way.
And that gets to everybody.
That gets to everybody.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Mayor Council at GrantsPassOregon.gov.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Rob Pell and Valerie Lovelace in studio today here, keeping us up to date on what's going on with the city and what you can expect to have happen within the next, well, certainly within the next year, a little less, in terms of public safety here in the city of Grants Pass. You're listening to KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, and heard all around the world on KAJO.com.
Currents Market.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, the number to call is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment live. So thank you very much for your ears this morning. We continue here. Our guest city councilors, Valerie Lovelace and Rob Pell, and we were talking about public safety pretty extensively throughout the first half of the program, and we've got so much to talk about. We could probably go for an extra hour today, but we won't keep you that long, we promise. Let's start with something else. I believe last month our illustrious senators put out a press release saying that we had been granted some money, significant money, to help with the water treatment plant. They retracted that and just said that we're still qualified for that. What is the status of this, and how much money are we talking about? What's it mean to the Grants Pass taxpayer?
Well, we put in for $50 million. And we are by far the largest request for the money because, of course, the cost more than doubled. It was at $56 million a few years ago, and now it's at $112. So we definitely, you know, put in for a lot of money to get that done. Last year, we did not reach the final stages. This year, we have reached the final stages. I don't know a time frame, but I would imagine in the next 3 months. That's just my own guesstimation. But I do know that there are 124 communities going for $2.1 billion. So $2.1 billion is the total amount, and there are 124 communities going for that. It's my understanding that everybody who's in the final stages gets something. So they could modify that amount. I know there are other ones. I think $35 million is what's been requested from Medford for their water treatment plant. So there are other communities, but it's huge that we got to the final stage. And we're hoping, of course, for the $50 million. And that will make a huge difference, because if we do get that amount of money, then we will not be going and putting more money on the water bill for the treatment plant. That would allow us to move forward and do that.
All right, but we don't know how much. We're pretty assured that we're going to get something.
Exactly.
We just don't know how much. We've asked for $50 million, which is, take a deep breath, that's less than half of what we need in order to get that done. Yes. In the meantime, what is happening with that situation, that plant moving forward right now?
They're in the final design mm-hmm. stages. So that's something that we, they get to the point, I mean, designing a water plant of that size is quite, an event. So we have until we get to the guaranteed maximum price. At that point, they will have a complete design, and they'll be able to tell us exactly what that price is. And so we voted, I think sometime in this last year, to have them complete that, because otherwise we'd have to kind of go backwards to bring it back if we had to stop it. So we have that process happening right now. I'm not sure exactly where that is, but they will give us a guaranteed maximum price. And at that point, we could do a couple things. We could step back, take those plans and stick them on a shelf and say, well, we have to put it off until we can figure out how we're going to pay for it. You know, and that will be a decision that needs to be made at that time. So having this extra $50 million will give us that over the top, being able to move forward with the plant. So
I question the phrase guaranteed maximum price.
I know.
And anybody who's been around any time would question that. What does that really mean? Is there an explanation for that?
I just think it just basically means the final design is done. And at this point in time, that would be what they would tell us to go out and use as our number to get the people to finish it up.
And if we have to put it on a shelf, then that price is probably going to just accelerate a little. Okay.
I think that term is actually a legal term, mm-hmm. the guaranteed maximum price. And I know I share your skepticism on that as well, because it doesn't seem, especially when government's involved or any construction project, even if you're doing it around your home, it doesn't seem like there's ever a guaranteed maximum. But I believe that's what they're telling us. Yeah.
All right. And we're hoping we'll find out something within 3 months. Is that what I understood?
I may be off. I'd have to ask Jason, but I do know that it's the final phase. And so, you know, that it's kind of no different than the Supreme Court thing. And in that case, I know there's 120 days. They have to let you know. When they're in the final phase, there's usually a shorter time frame, because all of the vetting that went up to that point was what took the most time. Now they've got a certain amount, so it becomes a little easier. I'm just assuming that. But.
All right. We'll all cross our fingers and hope we get the full $50 million. It's just that number rolling off my tongue hurts, $50 million. At any rate, Valerie's phrase was that Supreme Court thing. Where are we with that Supreme Court thing right now? That's one I had on my list also.
Well, we have.
We're talking about the injunction.
Yes, mm-hmm. The injunction at this point has moved to the state where we have put it for the Supreme Court. They have 120 days. I don't know exactly when it was, but it is. We are in that 120-day phase for them to decide whether to put it on an upcoming court case or whether not to take it. So that's kind of where we are.
And it's my understanding, you know, this is the injunction that a federal judge insisted that Grants Pass essentially has to allow homeless people to essentially sleep in our parks. That's the injunction we're talking about. And this story is now national news. It's coming from everywhere. There are cities all over the country that are watching this case. I think the city of San Diego actually made some kind of legal move that to encourage the Supreme Court to hear our case. So, you know, this is everywhere. I mean, I heard that there's cities in Tennessee that are watching this case, and the whole country is really being, in some cases, handcuffed by regulations that allow homeless to almost sleep anywhere. But in our particular case, it's allowed. We are mandated to allow them to be in our parks with their tents, and we want the Supreme Court to adjust that, modify that. You know, in our case, I mean, I don't know how we ever signed on to that agreement. To have them all be in one park might not have been so horrible. You know, it wouldn't have been good for the people who lived around that park. But, I mean, we have normalcy everywhere else.
Yeah, they're everywhere. And now it's basically public land, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And another thing, too, I think that, you know, it's taking a look at is that low barrier state. Because in our particular place, the Gospel Rescue Mission does not the numbers, and even though we have empty space at the Gospel Rescue Mission, those don't count as shelter spaces. And a lot of places, if you go back in the Midwest and down in the South, they do have those count. So that's a difference that we have here too. Is just that low barrier part of it, not counting if it's not a low barrier shelter. So, like I said, it is a big case. I do know, you know, Washington, California, Arizona have all come behind us and said, please help, look at this. This is out of control. We saw
Governor Gavin Newsom file the same situation with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that we did and got the same result turned down as we did. So are we getting any help from all of these other places in terms of paying for this situation here?
We're not actually. Grants Pass, City of Grants Pass pays very little. This is our insurance company, the city's insurance company, and they represent, I think, over 200 cities throughout Oregon. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are actually pushing this case. So it's not like Grants Pass taxpayers directly having to pay for that. It's our
now, we're tied
company.
To Boise, too, weren't we, in this situation?
Yes. Actually, Boise went, and they turned down the Boise case at the Supreme Court. But ours, that's why they're pushing ours. But ours is tied into the Boise case. They're kind of lumped together when you take a look at how the progression of how it's first came about.
So we should know something about the Supreme Court before the end of the year, then. That's what I'm hearing, within 120 days.
Yeah, I think so, maybe January. I mean, I think everything happens, it takes a little longer than you think. When we first thought 120 days, I assumed it had already been filed, but then a month later they said it's just been filed. So I don't know exactly. Right. I would say that through January is when I would expect to
say
it.
The wheels of justice grind terribly slow sometimes.
Yes, exactly. So every time I get excited about something, it gets put off. So,
you know, one thing that I found interesting, and I know Valerie has stated this publicly, is that the last time the city went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the judges there, while they turned down our appeal, they did clarify and said that if we had empty low barrier shelter space, that our police could actually ask people to leave the park because people would no longer be involuntarily homeless. They were voluntarily homeless if there's empty shelter space. Now, the question there is, and that sounds great, okay, all we need is a low barrier shelter and we can get them out of the park. The question is, how large would that have to be to not have a waiting list? I mean, if we built a shelter if we provided the land and someone else built it or ran it and it had 100 beds and only 80 were full, there's 20 empty spaces, the police would be within their rights to ask the homeless to leave the park. But we don't know. With 100 beds, it may fill up. We may have 100 on a waiting list. So, but it was an interesting clarification from the Ninth Circuit.
And I will say that I think the Courier had an article about Medford with Rogue Retreat, the fact that their numbers have people out on the street have gone down with them having facilities to put people. So, so that was a clarification that right. I think was important, but we still have that, you know, the shelters that have been run in Grants Pass, which at this point we have nothing for this upcoming year. We had one last year for 25 there was a constant waiting list for, and then of course a warming shelter we had as well, but neither of those do we have the money to move forward with those, and money has not been given per se to an organization like UCAN, which is our community care organization, to run something like that in Grants Pass.
Early on in this situation, there was a lot of talk locally about getting a low barrier situation here, but that seems to have gone by the wayside. We've talked about the Elks Club. There have been other locations mentioned, but I've not heard anything mentioned in some time. Am I missing something, or has that been put on a way back burner?
Well, it's not a question. It's a question of the fact that the city doesn't have funding for it. We had money that were basically pass-through money that was coming down from the state that we were going – we had options of either ARPA money, we had state money that we could have used for that, and the council decided instead to use our last roughly $1 million or $900,000 to help OnTrack have a few beds for people that are awaiting drug treatment. And so that's basically...
That's just down the street from us here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's where council decided to use that money rather than try to fight, I guess... public rejection of the idea of a low barrier shelter. I still believe that a low barrier shelter would be beneficial in many ways. And the article that we read the other day about some of the successes they're having in Medford, I think, is a testament to that. Now, they've had a lot of money that they were able to, that got passed through down to them from the state. We don't have that right now. Not to say that it can't happen in the future. Our county commissioners had not been particularly helpful. If they had declared a homeless state of emergency, we probably would have had more money come down through the state. There are other things that they probably could have done, and they have not been particularly helpful to the city on that, because it almost seems like they're looking at that as a city problem rather than a county problem. And we just don't. So that's why you haven't heard much about it. There'd be no point us talking about it because we don't have the funding.
Right.
Yeah, it comes down to funding, and that's basically most of that has come from the state.
Right. All always comes back to the dollar, doesn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this.
Illinois.
Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Number 8 call if you have a question or comment. It's 541-472-1270. We've got Valerie Lovelace and Rob Pellin, city councilors, with a lively discussion so far this morning. And we've been talking about some of the spending things the city is facing and that you're going to be facing, too, because it's all going to impact you. But let me see. All right. We do have a phone call coming in there. My light went off for a second here. Good morning. You have a question or comment for our guests?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out why the city didn't pass that levy on their own here a month or two ago when they were, I think it was the mayor that was the deciding vote against that levy for police and safety.
Yeah, that was
what was their...
That was an ordinance, sir. Yeah. That was I believe you're talking about. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'll let.
Well, wasn't that to fund the sheriffs and fire protection for the next year?
Valerie, do you want to answer?
Yeah, I'll answer that. It was actually an ordinance to create a fee on the utility. And that's not for sheriff. A lot of people get confused. The sheriff and the county is putting together a service district, which will service the sheriff's department. But this is the city. And the city, one of the things that we were looking for, and that's when you said the mayor, it was a 4-4 vote to put forth the fee on the water bill, and she said no. And so that just kind of took that off the plate temporarily. I think at that point in time, the councilors that voted against it weren't necessarily against the idea of a water fee to cover it, but they wanted to look at other options, including a sales tax or a...
And those fees were for city residents, not county residents, that vote that went on here several months ago?
Yes, that was city. So that's
I just don't understand why you guys shot it down.
I'm one of the ones who voted against it, and I'll say I think Valerie
I think you're not doing your job effectively. The city has a problem. Nobody wants to put their big boy pants on, do their job, get the levy, just pass the fee, put it on the water bills, and move on in life.
Mm-hmm. So that particular
been an ongoing issue for years.
Mm-hmm. That particular ordinance would have been at a $0 amount. It was in order to be able to enact it at a later date when we had more information about whether or not the levy passed, whether we had more information about whether or not people wanted to move forward with a food and beverage tax or other ways of funding. So that the fact is,
well,
the work
like
has
you
been
said,
done.
The people have been shooting down taxes for decades here in Josephine County and Southern Oregon. So that's just never going to happen. So just pass it, put it on the next time you guys vote, set it up so that it's put on the water, sewer, and bill, and we just pay the fee.
I have to agree.
I mean, every other city does it that way.
Yeah, I would like to say, and I'm one of the ones who voted in favor of it, was the fact there are at least 56 other municipalities in Oregon who have a utility fee. And those are sometimes some of those municipalities, as Medford, doesn't have a levy, but they have also put that on their water fee bill. So you're right.
Yeah, I mean, just call it a state of emergency for Josephine County and just start doing your job.
So as
get
we
the job done.
If you, I'd like to respond. As we discussed earlier, we have to make a decision by June, and the councilors that voted against it, myself included, wanted more information. There was no reason to have to do it that particular night. Something is going to be done between now and June. It could be the utility
fee. Well, they've
fee,
been saying that for 25 years, and nothing's been done. And that's just, you know, I'm really tired of being a resident of this community for this reason. Nobody wants to do their jobs, instigate the tax, put it on the water fee, and call it good. Just start doing it.
All right. Sir, thank you very much for your call. We really appreciate your input here today. Thank you very much. We are getting short on time here. All right. There might be time for one more call. If it's quick, it's 541-472-1270. Interestingly enough, on that vote, we do have each side here represented. One voted for it, one voted against it. Rob, you want a final word on that one?
Well, again, I don't believe that night, even though there were a total of five people that voted against it, I don't think that there were any, we'll call it hard-nosed people that might not change their vote on that in the future when the time comes. I think, you know, many good executives in private sector are going to make decisions at the last possible moment when they have the most information. We didn't have all the information that we needed to be comfortable setting that one down the tracks yet. And, but we, as we've talked about it earlier, it's crunch time and crisis time will be, in the spring, and we'll have to make a decision one way or another.
All right. Thank you very much, Rob. Val, do you want to wade into that here? We've got very short on time.
Well, I'm just going to say, we will do something. I mean, that's, I think everybody, and I think that's important. Everybody understands we have to do something at this point. We are beyond kicking it down the road. Something will be done. It's just, you know, we will have more information. So, you know, I have to go with the, you know, the vote of the council, and the council wasn't ready for it. So we'll move forward.
Okay. Couple of things coming up tomorrow night for the city council meeting. Wanted to deal with those just real briefly here. One, we're talking about increasing the transient tax. Is that correct?
No, we're not increasing it. It's actually at the maximum. It's at 12%. Mm-hmm. It's how it's collected. In other cities, mm-hmm. and this is a state, if you have extra costs like pets or whatever on your bill, that is part of the percentage that is taken out. In our particular city, they just have a base rate. They don't take that percentage of any of the other extras. So since ours was different than what the state is, we are just going along with what the state's doing.
So, which would result in a little more revenue coming into the city, which will probably go to law enforcement.
Well, we'll actually go to tourism promotion mm-hmm. or things like the Art Along the Road coming up this weekend.
All right. Let's see. Tomorrow night, anything else? Existing stormwater regulations real quickly. Anybody want to weigh in on what's happening tomorrow with that legislative hearing?
Yeah, this is a big one, actually, and it will be another regulation that will need to be addressed. But we have stormwater that has been brought in probably in the last 10 years because we have an MSF4 permit because we are now a city. We're an urban area, so there are certain things we have to do designated by the state because we are considered urban, and one of those is to come up with a stormwater plan. We have a plan, but this is a manual that kind of tells what we have to do, and so it's basically going along about keeping our water clean, what you know, and goes with state regulations. So it's just basically kind of like we have to do it because the state has mandated we do it. So we're doing it.
Very short on time right now. I've got about 30 seconds here left. If anybody wants half of that, you can have it.
Real quickly, we have Art Along the Rogue this weekend, corner of 5th and H. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, the added bonus this year, members of the Tequilma Tribe are going to be there to commemorate a permanent sidewalk art installation. They're going to have instruments, and it's going to be a fun time. That'll be 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. You'll see the tribal members there, and that's just an added bonus this year.
And Sunday, they are closing G Street because we have two other artists that will be installing painted crosswalks on G Street. Mm-hmm. So this is part of a $5,000 grant that came down from the tourism, Oregon Tourism, to kind of brighten up our downtown area. So big weekend.
So instead of all of the money woes, we're going to have a good time this weekend,
exactly.
City of Grants Pass. Counselors, exactly. We want to thank you. Thank you very much. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270.
From our humble beginning,